Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen. And we're not little children, and we know what we want.
Out there. This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And I am joined by my beautiful para partner in crime, who's back and better than ever. It's been a while since you've been on the show. How have you been? I know.
Been okay.
You could say that. Or
issues.
Some stuff is going through you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, besides that, anything going on with you tonight? I enjoyed pasta night with you. That was fun.
Pasta night was fun.
It was very fun. After
it didn't,
eating
the fries didn't like me, though. Yeah, I should not have eaten those fries.
No.
You were right. That was stupid. Next time, smack my hand.
Well, I mean, they had a nice cheese-like barrier between the bacon and the fries, I thought, anyways, that you'd be safe. And plus, you said you ate the fries at the bottom, so they wouldn't touch the meat.
Yeah. I took the ones from the bottom. But, you know, they must have, like, I don't know, grease must have gotten on it or something, because all is not right in the world.
No. Bacon juice has seeped down into the bottom of the pan.
Well, what makes me the saddest is I didn't even get to taste it. Like, it's making me sick,
but
I didn't even get to taste the goodness. Do you know how much I would
pay to taste
bacon again?
You might as well just, like, you know, eat. You might as well just have eaten the bacon and be done with it, you know?
Oh,
at least you would have had that enjoyment.
Eat the bacon and end it all.
That. Extreme, maybe like a little piece of, like a little nibble of bacon, so you don't actually die, because that part would, that would suck. I would kind of miss you. I'm just saying. Hey, we have some very cool guests coming on the show tonight.
I know. I'm
excited.
So excited.
We've got threefold paranormal. Of course, we've met Vanessa. She's come down.
Yes, she's an amazing person.
Yes.
Love her.
And we're so happy to have her back on the show. I've talked to Julia's husband, Phil, on the show before. So I'm interested in talking to her, and I'm definitely interested in getting to know Rachel. So, we've got three great guests on the show. We have Celestial online as well. But before I go get them on the line, I want to talk about the event we have this weekend. The Giving Ghost event, Giving Ghost 2.
I'm so excited.
At the cabin. It's going to be a lot of fun. Last year, Dennis and I, this is our first actual event we did at the cabin, public investigation we did at the cabin. We decided instead of charging people money, we would get them to bring a toy. And we would deliver the toys to their Henrico County Christmas mother. It was a huge success last year, so we decided to do it again, and we'll do it every year we have access to the cabin. This year, all the toys will be delivered to Toys for Tots, and I think that's pretty much what what we will be doing every year, just trying to partner with Toys for Tots and help them out as much as we can. So, it'll be a lot of fun. We've got, I think, a lot of people coming this year, and hopefully we'll be able to put some smiles on some kids' faces this Christmas. So any thoughts you want to add to that, Angie?
No, I think it's just a wonderful thing. I'm, like, really proud to be a part of it this year. And, it's just going to be awesome. So I really hope to see a lot of people out there.
Well, we're proud to have you there. And we look forward to having everyone out there this weekend. Just bring it, if you want to come, just look us up on Facebook, Cabin on 360, look up the Giving Ghost event. All you have to do is bring an unwrapped present worth $20, and it's a potluck dinner. So if you want to bring something for that, that would be great. So, all right, guys, well, I think it's time to put our guests on. So I'm just going to put everyone on at the same time here and have some fun.
Yay!
Hello, hello, hello.
Aloha.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
I can hear you just fine.
Hi. Julia, I'm here.
How's everyone doing? Hey, Julia.
We're good.
This is Ryan.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Angie's on the phone with us. So is Celeste.
Hi,
hey,
guys. Rachel, are you there, Hud?
Uh-oh.
Oh, do we have
I think
Rachel?
I put everyone on. Rachel, are you there? Let me look on their board here. I'm pretty sure I added everyone. I've got four people on.
Hello?
Not counting Angie, so that you should be there. Rachel, you there with us?
We got her. I'm here.
Thank you. All right. So everyone's here. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, welcome, Threefold Paranormal, to the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show. We're very happy to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Okay. So I will start off. How did you guys get together?
Well, are we live or this is just you're asking us?
No, we're live. You can I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
Whoever people wants to answer can go ahead and answer.
Okay, well, I guess I'll answer that. So, well, I kind of just, one day I was just sitting there watching The Legend of Crosby a couple of years ago. It's probably like 2 years ago. And, I was just amazed by, what I knew. And I said to myself, me, Phil, and my friend were watching it. And I said, I know this little girl, Holly Ann Hughes. And, as I started researching, I just like threw myself into this whole case because I guess I was so close and connected to the case growing up in Staten Island, going to school with Holly Ann Hughes, remembering her, and, being blocked. I was also blocked for, almost all of my life. So when this documentary came on, it stirred something up. And I said, I have to go down there. Now, I'm only an hour and a half away from my hometown, which is Staten Island. I live in Easton. I'm there all the time, but I never went down there to investigate. So, I didn't want to do it alone. And I said, I have to find, the perfect people to help me. And Vanessa Holger was actually helping out with, our case, the Horsefly Chronicles. She helped quite a bit. And, we became friends. And she's just amazing. And I'm just watching her. And I said to myself, there's just one person that I want to help me, and that was Vanessa Holgel. So the two of us planned it out. The only problem was I had to wait because she's very busy. So she was so on board, and she said, I'm definitely going to help you with this, but I just can't do it right away. So I waited a year and a half for her. And, it was well worth the wait because she's amazing. And then Rachel's also from Staten Island. She was, spent quite a few years there being raised on Staten Island. And we just somehow we connected on Facebook. And, I asked her one day, do you want to help me? And she's like, hell yeah. And we just all formed this bond. And mind you, you guys have to know that the three of us have never met. So it's very rare in this field, as you guys know, to find women that you know each other through Facebook, but you don't know each other. We come together and we form this bond, and we just went down there and we kicked butt.
Damn straight.
And that's how it came to play.
And she's exactly right, Ryan. That was one thing that we talked about, and so Celeste and they'll know more about this just because they're ladies, But that is one thing that you find unbelievably difficult to come across in this field is chicas who aren't affected by ego. We don't care which one of us is in the up front. We don't care which one of us is behind the camera. We're both.
No. Exactly.
And that's rare. That is very, very, very rare to find women who aren't competing for attention in this field. And, none of us did. We went there for a sole purpose of getting answers. We got them in spades, but it was a we effort. Not one person you know, stood out more than the other. This was a concerted effort between all three of us.
Definitely. Exactly. And we run things by each other. Like, you know, I never do anything without running it by my girls. So we're a team, and we work together, and, you know, we're like sisters. And like I said before, the most amazing thing that happened to me this year was meeting these two girls.
Absolutely.
Heard that.
Oh, shit, I forgot to ask. I can cuss, right?
You can shit.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Oh,
just
she's happy
sure
now.
We get
yeah,
confused.
I was
going to
say ass, but I was afraid.
We get confused because on some of them you can't because it's FCC regulated.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't remember if yours was or not. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm just, yeah, anyway.
No, we have no regulations here. Trust me.
Yeah.
So how'd
you
come up with the name Threefold Paranormal?
Vanessa. That's all Vanessa.
Yeah, in all honesty, the reasoning behind the name for Threefold was that we truly do, all three of us and our extended family, you know, with Gwen and everybody else, we do truly feel like what you put out there is what you get back. It's threefold law. And when you look, or when you're able to look fully at everything that we've acquired for this case, once our documentary comes out, you will see that I believe, Julia believes, and Rachel, we all believe that because we went there with pure intention, because we went there solely for truth and justice for these missing children, young adults, and adults, that we were able to get the amount of information that we got. Our intent dictated what our results would be, and that's the threefold law. You get what you put out.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we knew that going into it. Huh?
I said, I like that.
So that's
very
true.
I like that name. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Now, for your three personalities, because obviously you guys all fit together, from the three of you guys, I guess there's multiple roles that you can take in the team. Like, who would be, like, the more organized one, the more daring one, stuff like that? How does your dynamic work?
Vanessa, I need you to answer that. I always answer that question. I need you to do it.
Oh, Rachel, you can have Rachel answer that one. Rachel, you answer that one, honey.
Okay. So Vanessa is, I think, the kind of, like, outspoken of all three of us. Like, she's really good with words. Like, I really admire her, you know, with that. And she's amazing with her gift. Julia is, let's see, what would be the good word? Julia, I mean, actually all three of us are kind of like no bullshit. Like, we don't, you know. I think Julia's probably really good with organizing stuff. Wouldn't you agree, Vanessa?
I would agree. I would definitely agree. But you run a very even one on that one as well. If I was to break it down, I mean, honestly, all three of us can fit into any role because we don't vie for attention. But if I had to break it down, I'm the daring one. I would say that Julia is the heart and Rachel is the brains behind it. There's not one piece of equipment you could have thrown in front of her that she didn't know how to work. And Julia's heart is just bigger than fucking Texas. You know, her passion.
Thank you. I love you, Vanessa.
Oh, love you too, darling. And, I mean, her passion for this particular case is without limits.
You're going to make me cry. Don't do it.
But it's so true. And the fact that, in all honesty, we're all empaths. We all, in our own special ways, talk to the dead folk, you know, and we just respect each other.
Yeah.
We just respect each other. I know that Rachel and Julia have a skill set I don't have. Really?
You know?
I could go to Staten Island all day long and talk to dead people. But I'm not going to know what to do with that information when it comes through on equipment like Rachel does. I don't have a
clue. Oh, yeah.
Hell,
Rachel is the
me?
Equipment queen.
Yes.
I don't know anything about equipment either. Listen, you know, I use candles. I'm very old school. Rachel is the, and so is Vanessa. Rachel is the equipment queen.
Oh yeah,
really.
Ryan has seen me work. He's seen me work in Virginia. He knows I don't know dick.
Me
about,
neither.
About equipment.
I'm we're
like,
honest.
What's that flashy
we're
light
honest.
Thing? but we all. I mean, and. It really does depend on the situation, I think, don't you, girls, as to which role we have to play.
Yeah.
But the cool part about it is when it gets switched up because of circumstances like with interviews and everything while we were down there and so on and so forth, when it gets switched up, it runs like clockwork. Because if one has to go to a different role, the others – just immediately fall into where they need to be in order to back that person up.
Yeah.
I told you Vanessa was good with talking.
Sounds like you guys have a really good team dynamic that keeps you guys running smoothly.
We really do. I mean, honestly, it's a blessing. You know, I mean, I've worked with teams before here in Oklahoma, and I'm not a big fan of most of them that are here. I've only ever seen this dynamic and felt this comfortable, you know, with two other teams, and that's BPI and NP Paranormal, you know. And, I mean, that's plus, you know, Society of the Haunted with Mike and Shauna, I read for them too. But being on location. It's like family, you know, and it just works really well. And, you know, like I said, I don't think we would have gotten half of what we did while we were there if it didn't run this smoothly. I really don't.
No.
Right.
No.
So how
and
many
no,
places
no,
have
forget.
You investigated
the,
together?
Is
that
well,
one
well,
place or have you gone other places?
Oh, no, that's the only place we've actually gotten to go together yet. But you got to keep in mind, Ryan, this just happened in July.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
I was actually
following Vanessa's posts about you know, going to New York and everything last summer. Are there any particular places you'd want to investigate, the three of you, together? Any places you have in mind?
Oh, God, we would love to. You know, you have to understand, though, we all live so far away from each other. Vanessa's in Oklahoma. I'm in Eastern PA. I'm right near Staten Island. And Rachel is in Maryland. So we're so – it's hard, you know.
But it's going to happen.
It's hard. But right now our focus, I think, is so on this case because that's how we came together. And, you know – maybe one. I'm not saying that we're not going to. I would love to do other cases with them, but my heart and soul is so into just getting answers on this case.
This has to be seen to completion.
Yes, I have to complete this case before we move on. I have to because I'm like the type of person that has to finish something before I move on to something else.
Well, and Julia and Rachel, what I think Ryan and Ange and Celeste aren't aware of, if they haven't listened to the other shows that we've done, is we fully expected to have this documentary completed already. Having been said, Rachel, in her infinite witchiness, has been able to acquire additional interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Julia, with her connections, has gotten us legal help in a very, very strange fashion. People that have an extreme amount of experience in investigative tactics. And And we've just come across a ton of new information.
Yeah.
That we're having
to
find a way to work in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you got to understand is this, when, you know, we came together, you know, is a paranormal investigation that turned into a legal investigation. So there's so much. And every day we're researching and we're putting our, you know, we have kids and children, and we're taking time out of our days to do a little research each day. And it's a lot. It really is.
It's blown up. It's truly mm-hmm. blown up. There are connections that nobody ever made before. Ever.
Mm-mm.
And actually a couple of those connections I actually have to thank Tammy Sifford for, because
mm-hmm.
she found them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I mean that was huge what she found. And it has
well,
to deal with
I was gonna say, for those who don't know about the case, could you give us a small synopsis of what actually happened? So for those who are listening who don't know about what's going on, could you just give us a little bit of a history about
Vanessa.
The case you're working on?
I knew she was going to do that. I knew she was
like we
that.
Said, you're the brain of it, so guess.
For those who don't know, for over 100 years now or more, there has been the legend of Cropsey on Staten Island. It actually started around the Hudson River. And it was, you know, basically a name that was tied to the boogeyman. That's what parents used in order to frighten their children so that they wouldn't stay out too late, venture out after dark, talk to strangers, this, that, and the other. We all know a story similar to it in wherever the region was that we grew up. Cropsey was Staten Island. Well, in the 1970s, and some a little bit before, but primarily in the 70s, in the early 70s, when children started disappearing off of Staten Island, they started talking more about that and started applying the legend of Cropsey onto these missing children cases. Well, it wasn't until, I believe it was the fifth child that was taken, I believe Jennifer was the fifth child who was taken, that a name or a face was put to the legend, and that was Andre Rand. And he was an ex-employee of Willowbrook State School, which was actually a mental facility that housed 4,000 by its peak, 4,000 patients, and it was only equipped to handle about 1,500 to 1,800. So you're talking about a facility that Geraldo Rivera actually did an expose on, and it eventually got shut down because of its 50-to-1 patient to caregiver ratio and the conditions that the people were living in. Well, this Andre Rand actually worked there for a few years and was known as a drifter. He was one of those guys you would have walked on the other side of the street to get away from, yet mm-hmm. nobody tied him to any of these cases, really tied him, until one body was found, and it was found near one of his encampments. This is where it gets hinky, Ryan, if you haven't followed the case, and for mm-hmm. those who haven't, is at this particular campsite, very close to where this body was found, this grave was fresh, and you're talking about a little girl that was missing 2 months. This area had been searched 2 to 3 different times. This was a fresh grave, conveniently placed extremely close to one of his campsites. So he was convicted of her kidnapping, but not murder, because a cause of death could not be determined, nor could any sexual abuse or rape. And he was imprisoned for that from 1988 to, I believe it was 2003. And he was going to be up for parole, I believe it was in 2005. And so in 2003, they went ahead and tried him for the disappearance of Holly Ann Hughes, which had actually happened about 6 years prior to Jennifer Swaggart's body, for Jennifer Swaggart being kidnapped. And for that, he was convicted on circumstantial evidence. And even though there's no body, there's no cause of death, there's no nothing, he was convicted solely 100% on circumstantial evidence and eyewitness accounts of drug addicts and alcoholics who all of a sudden acquired memories, and he will now be in prison until he's 93 years old. Again, we've said this on every single show we've done, and I want to reiterate it on yours. This is not a, hey, let's exonerate Andre Rand case.
No.
It isn't. No, he's not a good man. He was convicted of inappropriate acts with a minor, a nine-year-old little girl, well before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
That having been said, justice is not served for anybody. The wrong person is convicted for these crimes because it means the people or person who did it are still out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's guilty of many things. Is he convicted of these? No.
No.
Without a doubt. And we know that we're on the right track because everything that could happen that has tried, that, you know, for people try to dissuade us from doing what we're doing, from harassment
mm-hmm.
to threats, everything, we've received it all.
Oh, yeah.
But the most telling thing happened 2 weeks after all of us had come back home.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, yes, Holly Ann Hughes disappeared July 15th, 1981. We were in Staten Island 36 years to the day of her disappearance. 36 years to the day. We get home, you know, Rachel to Maryland, Julia to Pennsylvania, myself to Oklahoma, and 2 weeks later, brand new interviews, brand new everything is being posted from the Staten Island Daily or something like that?
It was the Staten Island Advance.
Yes, commemorating the 36th anniversary of Holly Ann Hughes' disappearance.
And what does that
tell you,
me?
Yeah, exactly. They were brand new interviews with particular people that we believe might be involved. Now, if it's going to be a 36-year commemoration or discussion about her disappearance, why the hell did it happen 36 years and 2 weeks later?
Because they all knew we were there.
They all knew we were there. And they knew what we were doing. I don't know. I don't think the general public realized, y'all, what me and Rachel and Julia, what our intentions actually were. We were so vocal about this.
Mm-hmm.
Going there to get this reaction. We knew what we were doing, and we wanted to see how people would act.
You want to ruffle some feathers, so to speak.
Yeah, damn right.
You want to ruffle some feathers, yeah.
And we did. And we did.
Oh, yeah.
And
we
sounds like you got them a little bit nervous.
Uh-huh. Well, we were. Yeah, we got we were nervous. We got everybody else nervous. We were followed. Yeah, we were followed. We were every turn we took, there was a police car. Every turn we took. I mean, we were going into delis for food and Kentucky Fried Chicken for food, and there was a cop car beeping at us.
Let's have Rachel.
20.
Yeah. Let's have Rachel tell them what happened in Jersey.
Definitely. Because it wasn't for Rachel, we would have never found Jennifer Swagger. So... Rachel,
tell me what actually happened with George.
Yes. Okay.
I believe it was actually on the 15th that we went out to New Jersey to cemetery where Jennifer Swagger was buried. We spent quite a few hours out there, and, you know, we finally found her where she was buried and all that good stuff. But fiance he was parked a little bit up the road in another parking lot. He was meeting up with us. And then after we left, you know, we went one way, he went another. And he was followed by two SUV truck vehicles. And he tried numerous times to get away from these people, cutting into neighborhoods, you know, and all this kind of stuff.
He went through four separate neighborhoods to lose his vehicle.
Right. And it wasn't until he finally got behind them that they went off. But it was crazy that he was followed. And from where the cemetery where Jennifer was to where he was going, which was back to my mother's house, maybe 10, 15 minutes, if that tops. So having stuck through, you know, like she said, four different neighborhoods to finally get these people to stop following him. It was just ridiculous.
And, y'all, that's what we dealt with the whole time we were there. We dealt with standing on a street corner doing nothing, talking, and having cop cars drive past us and blast their sirens at us. You know, we had people yelling our names. Everything. It was, we had, y'all have heard this, I'm sure, on other shows, but we, you know, we were sought out by a particular person who was extremely close to the original cases, a familial connection. Mm-hmm. And he specifically tried to lead us on a wild goose chase, not knowing we knew what we knew. You know, and then he got shocked as hell when he figured out what we knew and the fact that we knew he was lying.
Yeah.
It was pretty intense. Julia actually had a vehicle for, what was it, 2 weeks, Julia? 2 weeks after? That was
Yes, I had a van that was parked in front of my house, and he was just staring at my house. Now, I thought immediately, my first thought that came to my head was that, why is he staring at my house? I'm only an hour and a half from Staten Island, and I did not have a good feeling at all.
Yeah.
Like we said before, you know, there's been people that have been on hit lists because of the knowledge that they have come up with, and you know, people don't like us, and people, you know, it's not easy to find out where you live, guys. It's real, you know, you don't got to pay that much to get an address. So,
exactly.
You know.
Right.
Like again, another reason we've been very vocal about it.
Yes, and that van was up to no good.
And that's one of the reasons, y'all, why we've been so vocal about it, is because if we were doing this quietly and we ruffled the wrong feathers,
mm-hmm.
something could happen to us and nobody would ever know.
No.
Yeah, you could disappear. And
exactly.
You know,
but,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
and you
got
to understand,
vocal about it.
Here's another thing. I'm in Staten Island quite a lot. You know,
mm-hmm.
my family lives there. My father lives there. My sisters live 10 minutes away. I'm there all the time. So, you know, it's scary. I've lived there almost my entire life, half my life I was raised there. So there's no question in my mind that people know where I live.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why when we've sought out help for this case, or when we've been lucky enough to have people that offer the help, we're very pleased that they don't live in the vicinity, but that they have access to information that we need due to their backgrounds, and that they're able to work on it without being in danger. Not that they would care. I'm going to tell you that right now. They wouldn't give two shits if they were in danger. But it's good to know that they can still, you know, do the maps and check the points of origin as far as residence and area of disappearance, and, you know, check the timelines and everything else because of their investigative skills. And we're very, very, very blessed to have particular people working on this for us, and they live in entirely other states and other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But the reach of their arm is that good. So,
well, it's good to have people like that on your side.
It's very nice. It's very nice to have people like that on our side. And again, it's that's one of the reasons why we give information that we can, but we're not calling anyone out just of yet, because we don't want the same thing to happen this time that we feel happened the last time. Is let's find an easy mark.
Yeah.
We don't want that. We want justice. And we want people to understand that these missing kids mattered. And it sounds ridiculous for us to say that, but think about it, Ryan. Think about what you see on the news.
Mm-hmm.
How many you see, you know, who, like I said on another show the other night, I said you see the news being, you know, who Justin Bieber is dating, and, you know, stupid bullshit.
Dude.
But you don't hear about the the 750,000 kids who are missing. How many mm-hmm. how many news stories do you hear on that?
Well, if we do it here, it's usually buried in it.
Yeah.
Ask
yourself why.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself why the largest pool of victims in this country, the largest pool of victims you never hear about. You'll hear about a random case here and a random case there. But you don't hear that at any given time, on any given day, over 90,000 children are missing from the United States alone.
No.
That's a fact. That's for the Criminal Justice Department.
Yeah.
I think the sad part is that, you know, it happened, what, like in the early 80s? When was the last when the last kid go missing?
Oh, God. This started in 1960s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people were still missing after they put this guy in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the last missing case was 2015. Mm. Yeah, and that's this is what we're trying to get people to understand. That's just one borough. Don't even get me started on the 7,000 missing from the other five boroughs. Yeah.
Yes. You got Brooklyn, you got Queens, you got Staten Island, you got Manhattan. I mean, there's, it's not just the Staten Island. Staten Island is very, very hush-hush. Don't forget, back in the day, what was Staten Island known for? Dumping bodies and the dump.
Yeah.
Little by little, families started making their way there and, you know, buying houses and building, but that's what it was originally known for. My father was the foreman of the sanitation, you know, and to this day, I can't, you know, it's hard to get much out of him, but, you know, that's what it was in the beginning.
I read a couple of weeks ago that I believe it was Brooklyn. I want to say it was Brooklyn. But I could be wrong. So by all means, please verify my information. It was either just Brooklyn or it was all five boroughs that in 1 year's time, just from that area, there was almost 7,000 children missing. Now, what people need to realize, that is like taking the city of Oklahoma City and just pulling 7,000 kids out of it. And having nobody ever say a word.
And like you said, so many kids are labeled as runaways because they just do not have the manpower of the authority to find these kids. So they're labeling them as runaways.
Uh-huh.
Are they runaways? Are they all runaways? No.
Well, let's give the stats again real quick. Ryan, Celestial, Ange, did y'all hear the stats that we were talking about on the radio on the other show the other night? Did y'all buy any chance
here? No, I didn't hear those.
Okay. Just get ready because y'all are parents, okay? So be sitting down, please.
Yeah.
In 2002, the Criminal Justice Department put out the stats, and this is on CNN, of missing children in 1 year in the United States. 1 year. And it's from 1997 to 1999, middle of the year to middle of the year, okay? And they said in 1 year, 787,600 children were missing under the age of 18. Out of that 787,000, 208, I believe it was, or 203,000 plus were taken by family members. An additional 58,000 plus were taken by non-family members. But a measly 150 were taken by strangers. That leaves, in 1 year's time, 535,000-plus children unaccounted for.
Where are they?
That's over 500,000 kids under the age of 18 in 1 year that disappeared off the face of the earth.
Labeled as runaways,
wow.
Correct?
Yep.
Now, that's impossible.
It's impossible. To never be seen from again.
Yeah. That's incredible.
What do you think of that? Yes, you're a parent. How does that make you feel?
I mean, I don't even have words for it, to be honest. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, the numbers are so overwhelming. It's like, how can that be true? You know?
It is true. Criminal Justice Department's stat right there. Anybody can look it up.
And like I said, there's just not enough manpower to, you know, find all these kids. And so they're labeled as runaways, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And we're not blaming, you know, police force in their entirety, because we know how overworked they are. We get that. That having been said, you know, we talk a lot about sex trafficking here, you know, in the United States, and how all these children who are being sex trafficked, because Oklahoma is a big place for that, you know, how they go overseas for the sex trade over there. Try a little closer to home.
Mm-hmm.
Try a little closer to home. They ain't all going overseas. You know, we found out some stuff that'll make your blood curl.
Yeah.
So that's something that this is what the reason that we're so passionate about this is: A, we're parents, but B, we don't want this to continue in every state of the freaking union. It's got to stop. You know, and it's not getting the exposure that it should. Hell. The little girl that was just missing in North Carolina?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how hard I tried to get a hold of the law enforcement there? I tried. I had a drawing of the guy that did it on Monday. Saw her picture on Monday, drew it, called law enforcement.
And everything she said was accurate.
Everything's come out. I called their sheriff's department at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. And I was told I'd get a call back. By 5 o'clock, I hadn't heard anything, so I called the FBI. FBI was told me specifically, they said, as of 2 hours prior to your phone call, we were told that everything has to go through the Sheriff's Department or Crime Stoppers. We cannot take your information. So I called the Sheriff's Department again, the number they put on the news for information. Didn't tell them who I was. Didn't tell them it was psychic information. I simply stated, I have information on the little girl that was taken in North Carolina, the 3-year-old. Do you know what I was told? Call back tomorrow. Nobody's here.
So why do you think people aren't receptive to getting help on these cases?
Honestly, regular help, I don't know. I understand why they question my kind of help or our kind of help. I get it. I do. I get it. I understand that it's weird. I understand that it is outside the norm. I totally do. But for me, if it was my child, I would search the ends of the earth. I would want every bit of information. And I don't care how far-fetched it is. All I wanted to do was send them a picture. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
They didn't have to talk to me. They didn't have to get any other information out of me. I didn't want any credit. None. You know, I even tried Crime Stoppers. They couldn't take my information, but they gave my phone number and my name. They took my phone number and my name. Still never heard a word. That was all on Monday. Guess who they arrested on Thursday? The guy I drew.
Yeah, and you know, every missing children's case, the cops usually bring in a psychic. I mean, it's Rachel. I mean, Vanessa, am I right? I mean, it's true.
In some cases, yeah. In some cases, it's definitely true.
I mean, I know that for a fact.
Yeah. You know, and it's just, it's one of those things where we know it won't stand up in a court of law. We get that. We know that it won't. But that psychic or that intuitive might give you that one piece of information that leads you in the right direction, and you can tie everything else together legally.
You got to take every little thing into consideration.
Yeah.
And
wherever
a little
bit helps.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, at this point, what could it have hurt?
Right.
What could it hurt?
You know?
Exactly.
The woman in Staten Island who tried to go to the police, and let them know what was
Veronica
going on.
Lucan?
It was Veronica Lucan. And she was a sensitive. And she told them. And she had stuff to back it up. And no one would listen.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of the whole thing is that we talked about this on the on another show is Detective Frank Sayers, who Rachel has said since day one, man creeps me the fuck out. We all think he's nasty. He really creeped Rachel out. I mean, her perv radar just went straight through the roof, right, Rachel?
Oh yeah.
Well, he's actually on tape in one of the Cropsey documentaries, stating right there for God and everybody to see that, yes, he knows there are a cult at Atten Island. The guy that leads the cult, the satanic cults, lived there for decades. No, he's never felt a need to interview him at all. And, yes, they practice at Willowbrook. And when he was asked if they used children, his exact words were, I'm not going to answer that.
Exactly.
That's not fishy at all.
Oh, hell
and
no,
you can
but
find,
you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can find those two clips on Threefold Paranormal. Everything is out there. And you can
everything. And no, and what kills me is the guy that did the original documentary. Just let that go.
Yeah.
How the hell could you let that go?
Because that's the difference
yeah.
between us and them. We are not letting anything go.
No.
No way.
No.
Especially
so
with him.
On going back to Stanton. Next year,
if it is financially possible, if it's financially possible, I'll meet the girls any day of the week.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that once we raise enough money from the documentary to actually put up these memorials, because Holly Ann Hughes, she doesn't have anything. There's nothing for Holly Ann Hughes. You know, we found Jennifer Swagger's, you know, grave thanks to Rachel. There's nothing for Holly Ann.
There's nothing for Holly Ann. There's nothing for Hank. There's nothing for Thais. There's nothing for Alice.
For Alice, there's nothing. So
nothing.
Our goal is to sell our documentary and take the proceeds and, you know, build something in Staten Island for these missing children. And I think that's when we're going to connect again and go back down there.
Absolutely.
Well, when the documentary comes out, you know, I'd love to have you ladies back on the show. To promote it and talk about it and stuff. You know, Vanessa knows that I run the cabin on 360, but the house next door, a little girl was raped and murdered. So
yeah,
I have a connection almost, not really a connection, but you know, I know what you guys are going through when it comes to youth and you know stuff like that. So I really commemorate. Commend you guys for what you guys are doing out there. Now, do you think if this documentary is successful and you're able to get the answers you seek, do you see yourself maybe looking into other cases around the country and you three working together on other cases?
I would love to. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I don't think that it was just Julia's connection to Holly Ann that helped us. I think it's the fact that we're all mothers. You know, we had multiple children contact us while we were there.
Yeah.
So it's not something that I would say no to at all. If we've got the finances to be able to meet somewhere and work on it, we absolutely will.
Yeah, you can't cut it off. That's the thing. If children are asking for help, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop it. You know.
Exactly.
No.
You know, that's exactly right. We actually got probably Rachel, Julia. Would y'all agree that EVP we got was probably the best you've ever heard?
Yeah.
On Willowbrook. It's on Threefold's page as well. You can't miss it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what it says, just because it's been out there long enough to do it. But we had just gotten on to Willowbrook Ground, just gotten on to it. and I'm kind of panning the my camera around, just getting video, and I'm talking, and I said, and this is where the legend of Cropsey was given some weight. And directly after I say weight, you hear a little girl, and she's singing, and it's clear as a fucking bell. She says, Cropsey, just like that, clear as a fucking bell.
That was amazing.
But we didn't hear it.
Mm-mm, not until we like really, we listened and we listened and we find
I think Rachel had went to go get a cup of coffee. Me and Julia are sitting on the bed in the hotel, and I play it back, and we both just look at each other, and we're like, we didn't fucking just hear that. We played
it, I think, probably
10 times. Like 10, 15 times, then Rachel's like, and then Rachel's back in there, and she's listening to it, and she's like, I'm like,
amazing.
I know, right? It was, it is the clearest EVP I've ever gotten, ever, in 43 years of talking to dead people. Anything on audio is the most clear, ever. It's
That's amazing, guys. And, you know, if you guys, if our listeners want to, you know, listen to the EVP. It's on the Threefold Paranormal Facebook page.
Yes.
Yeah. It's on the pin You can just go right up there and click it, and it comes right up.
Perfect.
And I shortened the video so it's just that EVP. It's not all of the other ones that we caught as well, because it was a 16-minute long video. So this is shortened just to where they can hear that.
That's awesome. I'll definitely check that out. I want to thank you, ladies, for coming. We're almost towards the end of the show here, and the hour went by super fast. It was a very informative show. I'd like to have everyone back on again as a group and individually, because I know each one of you has more stories to tell. And we definitely appreciate you coming on. Angie had to skip out because she's not feeling good. And Celeste lost signal. So, yeah.
Oh.
So,
they left you all by
your
lonesome.
They want me to thank you guys. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you for having us on.
I definitely appreciate you guys coming on. And I'll definitely try to get you guys back on, like I said, each individually and as a group sometime next year.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
You guys have a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
You
and,
too.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Have a great night, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, that was fun. I enjoyed talking to them on the show. And plus, that case is just, it is. It's a lot more information than I even knew existed about it. Now, it makes me want to go do some research on it. Don't forget, we've got the Giving Ghost event at the Log Cabin this Monday night. If you're in the Richmond area, come by and see us. Angie and I will be there, along with a bunch of our friends. Dennis Eslock will be there as well. Don't forget, we've got Beyond the Spectrum and Freaks and Geeks on tomorrow night. Wednesday night, we have the premiere of Tim Parsons' show, WPRS Night Visions with Dennis Heslock as our guest, talking about remote viewing, and our Enlightenment on Saturday, Within Chaos on Thursday, and we have Tim Yancey coming on next week on the show. Don't forget to tune in next Monday night, 10 p.m., same freaking awesome time. Same freaking awesome channel. And again, thank you very much to Threefold Paranormal for coming on the show and hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon. All right, everyone. Have a great night and stay freaky. Bye.